97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
We got Kill Me coming up in a little bit at the bottom of the hour, plus an audio cut of the day. I'm trying to see if Fred left me any notes for tomorrow, because often he does that. And I'm off on Friday. Sue and I are both off on Friday, unfortunately, but back on Monday. So we were talking about Starlink a little bit in the next hour with our friends that have a fishing boat down in Fort Myers. You've heard Starlink mentioned a lot here in the last couple of weeks. And you missed this yesterday, Sue. We had Kenny Wallace on. He was actually in Charlotte. He was out there, not necessarily just flood-related, but, you know, he lived there for many years. He's got a lot of contacts and friends and family members. He knows Greg Biffle very well. Greg Biffle, NASCAR driver. Yeah, and he's out there trying to help people, deliver supplies, rescue folks, and he talked about Starlink.
The biggest thing that I'm so happy that we were able to do is communication is key. And Starlink sent us overnight at the beginning of this thing last Sunday, 300 Starlink units, and we had over 50 private aviation helicopters deploying these Starlink units out to all of these communities, first responders. Now we're still delivering them to, unfortunately, search and rescue and cadaver dogs.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, obviously, a lot of work. But, you know, we wanted to find out a little bit more about Starlink and what it's all about. Obviously, this is Elon providing great technology to the planet. Again, George Rosenthal is one of the owners of our friends at ThrottleNet. He joins us this afternoon. Hey, George, how are you? Welcome back.
Good. Thanks for having me back. Man, what a wild time down south and all throughout. I mean, 6 to 8 states affected. And here we are living in 2024, where technology is at a point where literally you can drop a not even a dish. It's a flat panel out of a helicopter and be able to talk to the space. It's kind of amazing.
We had a real good explanation of, you know, how you would practically use this in the last hour, because we had a couple of folks that own a fishing charter down in Fort Myers, and they said, you know, it's been a game changer, because you used to have the satellite phone. Not only can you have, you know, Wi-Fi calling, you're a couple hundred miles from shore, but you can watch a movie or something like that if the fishing's slow, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is complete high speed. You're up to 150 to 170 megabits down and 5 to 20 up. I mean, this is high speed internet. This is watching Netflix, playing video games, literally with a device that can be attached to your backpack. Plug it into your RV, boat, or wherever, and you have high speed internet anywhere basically on the earth right now.
Hey, George, don't they have that? Like, I've seen neighborhoods out in Pacific, Missouri, and places like that. That's where they use it, right? Where you can't get, I mean, Mark, you should get Skylight.
Well, I'm going to ask that question. Yeah, so where I live, George, let's see if there's practical, you know, application, because I always make it about myself anyway, so we might as well do this. But in the High Ridge Valley Park area, I'm literally, you know, Valley Park is a valley, so I don't have any cell service. Every once in a while, like when the leaves leave the trees, when they fall off, a little bit better. We call this road right by the horse farms there, Sue, Twisty Turny.
Right.
It's actually Hillsborough Road, I think. But I have terrible service from Charter. This whole stuff from T-Mobile doesn't work for me. So is this something that consumers will be able to use eventually at a cost-effective price point?
Oh, yeah. Not just eventually. You can go on Starlink.com right now and order. If you're going to attach it to your home, the residential, there's no upfront cost for that, but it's $120 a month, unlimited data, and there's no contract. You can stop anytime. And you're going to get 150 to 170 meg down, 5 to 20 up. But the point is, if you turn on your Wi-Fi calling on your cell phone, you can call and talk through your Wi-Fi at the high speed. So you don't even have to worry about the connectivity of your phone. And this is available right now.
Why the hell am I not doing this, George? Why the hell am I not doing this?
Okay, this is where Sue says, I have mentioned this to you before.
You've mentioned specifically Starlink?
Yes, okay. Because we were talking about it out in Pacific and places like that. And people, George, were on lists to get on it, right?
Yes, yeah. And well, I mean, and what's nice then, too, is you can take that same panel receiver off your house, put it on in your suitcase, luggage, or travel, or wherever, go on a hike, go on a boat trip, on a RV trip, and take the same device, plug it into an outlet. Long gone are the days of attaching a satellite dish to your roof and having a technician out to make sure that it's pointed at the right satellite at all times. Those days are dying quickly. Now you're to the point where you literally have a flat panel about the size of a large laptop and can take it anywhere you want. I mean, right now, they have 6,000, roughly 400 satellites in space. They have approval for 15,000, and they really want to put 42,000 around the world so that no matter where you're at, you can have full high-speed internet, whether you're in the middle of the African desert or whether you're in the jungle down in Brazil. It doesn't matter.
Okay, I didn't know that part, Mark. I didn't know you could take it with you. Holy Toledo. That's nuts, George. That's, wow. Elon Musk, say yeah, what you will, but holy Toledo.
Absolutely. That one's called the Mini. So it's called the Starlink Mini. And you can go on starlink.com and actually see it in use.
Okay, I'm going to ask you guys just to talk amongst yourself for a minute here, because I'm actually on the website and I'm filling out my information. Now, this is a learning experience. I had no idea. So I just put in my address, says order Starlink. Then it says there is a congestion charge in your area. What does that mean? Do you know?
Well, that's going to, again, that's going to be how many people are, it's going to be the whole, how many, you know, when the first plasma TV came out, there was a whole big surge to go buy them. That's the same thing that's happening now. So especially with a natural disaster, they're prioritizing a lot of their equipment in the southeast region of the country. So if you may have to wait just a little
bit, well,
but
so here's,
you can purchase it.
Here's what they say. Okay, so here's how it breaks down. The service, as you indicated, $120 per month. The congestion charge, good job, Elon, $100. The hardware is $349. The shipping and handling is $20. The tax is $27.12. So I owe today, if I were to do this, $496.12. Now they also have options in here for, you know, some hardware and things to, you know, I guess install it. But is it, where do you put it in your house? Like, does it matter?
It has a attachment that can go on your roof or on the side of the house. Again, it doesn't have to point directly at a single satellite, since there are so many satellites covering the United States at any given moment. So you're basically aiming it up, and you're using an app to coordinate it. And the app is simply telling you where to turn to match up to the square that's on this app on your phone. And it'll tell you as soon as you have kind of, you're good to go.
I love this.
Which is why you're able to disconnect this off your roof, put it on your backpack, and take it with you. Because when you go to a campsite,
that's brilliant.
And set it up, you're just using the app to point it into the main. All you're doing is pointing it straight up in the sky. And there's so many satellites. And these are low orbit satellites. Okay, these are most satellites are at 22,000 miles up. Okay, and they're doing roughly 7,000 miles an hour in order to keep up with Earth and not to have the gravitational pull it into a disaster. But you're talking about, these satellites are only 340 miles in the air. So they have to do 17,000 miles an hour just to keep up with the rotation of the Earth. And they're going around the planet once every 90 minutes. That's how fast these things are going.
Well, this is eye-opening. It really is. Just even on the website, we always make it clear that Throttle, that you're not an internet provider. You are, you know, cybersecurity, IT services. But could this potentially really, God, I'm hoping, paralyze, you know, companies like Charter that suck and your service goes out like 10 times during the summer? Could that really affect them, I hope? Maybe?
Well, possibly? I don't know that the word paralyze is there because, for example, I have AT&T fiber. So I'm getting, you know, 5 gig down and 5 gig up. That's not going to happen with satellites in space for a long, long time. So this is still high-speed internet, but it's nothing like a fiber line to your home.
But I don't have, you know, I guess I would, with Charter, I would have a fiber line. The problem is that nobody else has a fiber line, which is why I can't get other companies, and there's not, you know, I think that's what's frustrating to a lot of people, is that there's not enough competition. Now, it's getting, you know, there's other companies that are laying cable, but it's taking a while, George.
It is. And, you know, I mean, to give an example here of the competition, so the FCC recently, just because of this disaster, allowed SpaceX, I mean, obviously Starlink, to partner with T-Mobile to provide free cellular SMS messaging and emergency alert services to disaster areas for free.
That's incredible. Now, why
that's important is because you can use your phone. So you don't need a receiver from Starlink. If you have an Android 14 and up, or an iPhone 14 and up, you can engage the satellite communication services in the settings of those phones. And for free, if you're on T-Mobile, you can then SMS message, get emergency alerts, and possibly make an emergency phone call if you're in the affected storm areas. So, and that's totally free right now for all T-Mobile customers. So if you have family and friends in disaster areas and they're on T-Mobile, tell them to use their emergency services on their settings, and they can immediately start texting you back and forth.
That's awesome.
Now,
that's great.
Really is awesome.
The competition scare about that is if the speeds get high enough, why do I need my cell tower when I can walk into my backyard and be talking in full to satellites in space with the same phone that I bought?
That's fascinating. That's great, though. I mean, look, that's going to spur more competition and innovation, which is what I love to hear. While we have you here, Droz Rosenthal from Throttle, I have to share a story that I told on the air. Maybe it was last week, and it's probably not going to be something that surprises you. So I almost got snagged in one of these fishing expeditions. In this way. So just as a little background, because what I had ordered was, you know, playing heavy in my mind. I ordered a cable, by the way, it still hasn't gotten here, a couple weeks ago from AudioQuest. It's a headphone cable. My emotional support bunny Oreo gnawed away at my high-end headphone cables and almost ate my damn headphones, right? But I just need to replace the cable. So I go on AudioQuest website, I order, I pay for the expedited shipping. In my mind, it was supposed to be like 3 days. The AudioQuest person that I finally got a hold of says, well, it was actually 5 to 7 days. And I think we're at the 7th day of business. But anyway, that's not what's important. That I had done a couple Saturdays ago, right? It'd be 2 weeks this Saturday. So in my mind, I got a package coming. So I get a notification via text that says, we have a package waiting for you. It says it's USPS and we need some information. It even has a hyperlink that's not active. And it says, hit yes or no. And when I hit yes, it gave me an active hyperlink. And then I hit that and it asked me for my address and my phone number. So I did that. Then the next page asked me for my credit card because I had 1 cent. Okay. I had 1 cent that I owed. Now, George, if it didn't say 1 cent, if it said like 30 cents or maybe a dollar, I might have actually filled out the information. But something kicked in at that point. I'm like, this doesn't seem right. And then I look at the specific text message that came into my phone. It was from a ridiculous, you know, site. And I think the whole thing was a scam, I think.
It is a total scam. And there's a couple of things that could have been total coincidence of timing. Because I get those all the time, even though I may not have ordered something. The other side of that is if you use the website to do that, they could have either been monitoring that website for your purchase, and maybe that website, the actual retailer, had been compromised, or you need to be aware and see if there's any malware on your machine that is watching your keys you're doing. Again, three scenarios that could have happened, but if you ever get something like that, it's always best to talk to the retailer themselves. And if you've already bought something, you should never have to re-put in your credit card.
Well, yeah, and see, that's why it was weird, because it was USPS. They were saying that they had an additional charge. Look, I'm convinced that it was a complete scam, but it was so sophisticated, and it almost got me, because it was because if I hadn't expected a package, I probably would have, you know, right away thought, this is something fishy, fishy.
Right,
but since I ordered the package, that's why it kind of got me.
It's kind of genius on their part, because anybody that you just dangle that out there, a package, ooh, I did order something. I mean, that's how they get you. They just think of something that people will go for.
When you talk about malware, though, George, like, I'm an Apple Mac guy, so I don't have as many issues as I used to remember having with PCs, but it's been a while. But what's the recommendation there?
So if you are a PC user, it's always best to have your computer scanned for malware, especially if you're just an end user as a residential person. If you're in a business side, that's a totally different thing, where different tools need to be put on your network to be monitoring these kinds of things to ensure that malware isn't going along, you know, throughout the entire network or on your devices. But along with that, even if you're not in a business, remember we talked last time, Google Chrome had to update because they had several massive security problems. So if you're just out there and you're not part of a company, make sure you're updating your browsers at all the time. So because those security patches are coming out on a regular basis. And that's what's going to stop some of these malware infections. But then again, it always comes down to your decision making as to what information you give and when you give it on what device.
Yeah.
So best to just contact the retailer directly. If you have a question about any type of shipment, or if you're going to put your credit card into anything, make sure it's on a reputable site that has HTTPS, which stands for secure, in the address bar. Those are some things you definitely want to make sure that you're aware of. But yeah, those scams are getting more sophisticated. It's a shame these people wouldn't just put their con smarts to good things, you know?
Well, you know, I think we've said that before, but it is kind of amazing, you know, and I guess all it takes is, you know, just a couple of, look, that's why they call it a fishing expedition. You got 100 people. If one or two they snag in.
Sure.
Well, that's a big win. So I was just looking at this. So the address, it's so weird, George. This came in. It says the USPS package has arrived at the warehouse and cannot be delivered. Please confirm your address within this link. And if you look at the person who texted it, it's this weird convoluted address that says Marine Kolos, probably Russian, underscore 4482 at zongkechen.com. So she's in Russia with Putin trying to snag some information from Americans is what it sounded like there.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you're talking about hundreds of billion-dollar industry. So you're right. If you do this to a million people and half of 1% go for it, and give you a credit card, not only are you paying them some money, but now they've got your card to go run and do whatever they need to before you figure it out and cancel the card.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, we always learn so much when we have you on the show. All's well in your world, I'm assuming, I'm hoping?
Absolutely. Our job is protecting businesses, and right now it's busier than ever, to be honest with you, because bad guys are, like we just talked about, getting very, very sophisticated, and it is a constant battle. I hate to say it's a cyber war, because people kind of roll their eyes like, oh, yeah. But I'm telling you, it's a constant war of keeping bad actors from infiltrating businesses and ruining businesses completely.
Absolutely. And if you're a business owner right now, I think he knows a guy or a team that can help. ThrottleNet.com. George Rosenthal, thank you so much. Good luck with everything. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much. Right. Have a great week.
It is a Wednesday afternoon, and we're going to visit with Brian Kilmeade coming up. Audio cut of the day before the end of the hour. Right now, Brian Kilmeade back with us on a Wednesday afternoon. Brian, how are you?
What's happening, Mark?
When you got off the radio show, I don't know if you were paying attention. I don't know if you were on set or anything, but they did this FEMA meeting today that, you know, Fox was airing. And I was paying attention, doing some work. And every once in a while, the president, the vice president would weigh in. They'd ask a question because they had to make it seem like they were on top of this. And, of course, I thought to myself, Brian, well, this is very normal. They did the same thing a couple of weeks ago with Helene, right? Except they didn't. So it's just all politics for this White House right now.
It's all a show. And the thing is, so much, they're going out of their way to make it political. They're saying Donald Trump is giving misinformation and Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying that I'm controlling the weather. Excuse me. What type of president sits there and handles things that are political when you're in a crisis? Do you ever see George Bush go, you know, Al Gore keeps saying during the election, or John Kerry keeps chirping? No, you would just do it. And by the way, they were nonstop critical of the war, which was more serious, I would argue, than a hurricane in many circumstances. So I'm just stunned. Number one, the one issue, they keep saying we're giving $750. Why do they make this stuff up? Hey, you idiot, your vice president said we're getting you $750. Number two is you weren't on it. You were at the beach. You asked those people in Western North Carolina if you're on top of things. And since when does FEMA say, you can't, even though you don't see us, we're there? You're lying. You're not there. You couldn't get there. You do not have helicopters in Western North Carolina. Your Democratic senator didn't ask anybody from his army base to help out. You should have told him to request it. Your Secretary of Defense would have gotten Fort Liberty, which is Fort Bragg. They were 1 hour away. They had 1,000 people ready to go. Not this Monday, the Monday before. That's 3 days later. They would have been able that day if they called ahead of time. But 3 days later, 1,000 ready to go. All they needed was orders. I talked to him Thursday. He goes, Brian, I still haven't heard anything. Thursday night, he texted me, and he said, we're moving. And then he said, I talked to him on Sunday. He said, we've turned this thing around. We're on top of it. But it didn't have to be this way.
Exactly.
Give me his name, because he goes, I would get fired. So that's a problem. You want to blame Donald Trump and the 750, and you should have done a better job, and I handled Starlink. You didn't handle Starlink. What is your problem? There are bodies still yet to be discovered in the mountains of North Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, I'm concerned that North Carolina is not going to get enough attention because, you know, now this is all going through Florida. And by the way, I'm sure you saw this yesterday, but I thought DeSantis was just brilliant. Kamala Harris comes in, and she did this on Colbert last night, too. She tries to say that DeSantis is trying to politicize this. And DeSantis snaps back, look, you know how many hurricanes we've had in the past 4 years when she's been vice president and the number of times that she's called to help? Zero.
Right. She's not in the chain of command. I'm not going to play games. The vice president's on the line for you. For what? And then I think that Biden tweaked her by saying Ron DeSantis has done a great job. Governor DeSantis has done a great job.
I know, right?
Very impressed.
Yeah, that was interesting for sure. Let's move on to a couple other topics I want to get your opinion on. I've spent a lot of time here in the last couple of days on this Tony DeCoppola story at CBS and this leaked, you know, conference call from yesterday morning, I guess Monday morning at this time. That's pretty fascinating the way that that's playing out, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we played a lot of it today with Martha McCallum, and he did nothing wrong.
No.
He read the book. Now, his co-anchors might be angry, because I know what it's like to be on a show with other anchors. When you take 6-7 questions in a row, they get kind of ticked. But that's not his. That's not the author's problem. It's not CBS's problem. That's something between the anchors. But as far as I know, don't even factor into this. But this, what did you think?
I thought it was a good interview. It was actually, if I would have, you know, watched that interview and not known anything about the controversy, I would have actually been impressed with Tony DeCoppola actually, you know, asking a few tough questions. This is a guy, Ta-Nehisi Coates, that wrote a book about Israel and didn't include anything, didn't even mention the word Hamas, Brian, or Iran, or nothing like that.
Directions will resume automatically when you return to the route. Do you need updated directions?
Well, we hope Kilmeade's okay, because now he's getting the GPS directions here.
Cancel route.
Yeah.
Are you okay? You're not lost, are you?
No.
Okay. There we go. But my take was that CBS embarrassed themselves, especially since they also forgot that the two anchors that were extremely biased a week ago during the vice presidential debate also work for CBS News, don't they? Nora O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan.
Nope. Canceled.
Yes. Is everything okay?
Yes.
Poor Brian, we should probably let you go. You're busy. I get it.
No. Sorry. I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I was on the CBS thing. I thought it's embarrassing that now I don't know how many people actually would hear the audio of what was leaked yesterday or dialed into this story, but it's so hypocritical for them to get involved in this particular story and say, we have these standards at CBS News, knowing their history. You know, on the other hand, I will say this. Bill Whitaker surprised me with his questioning of Kamala Harris. It was rather intense. I give him credit for that.
But the lawyer is not buying into it. And I love the fact that they're divided about the whole thing. They say, you know, this is a joke. I think this is shows you when you're so when it's so obvious that the anchor was right. And it's so clearly that CBS thinks the anchor was wrong and thinks it should apologize. Evidently, he was tearing up in the meeting. Why is he tearing up? He has 6 questions. If you want to apologize to your co-anchors, do it. But he read the book. The guy has evidently he's got his first wife and his kids are in Israel. Why would he not take it personal? So, I mean, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. I'm busy at that time. But he was very calm, and I don't think the author was upset at all.
No.
I think he likes this.
Look, they both handled it pretty well. It was, and I get what you're saying, because when I was watching, I thought, oh, okay, Gail and the other dude are kind of sitting on the sidelines. Tony's taking charge here because he's got some questions. They even mentioned his body language. But at the end of the interview, it was a lighthearted exchange and goodbye. He obviously knows him very well. It would have been reckless and journalistic malpractice had he not conducted the interview in that fashion, considering the topic.
Right.
And considering the day, by the way, or the week.
And look, you don't think Israel should exist. I mean, his argument, I would love to have had that argument with this guy, had this challenge, because his idea is, well, everyone's pro-Israel, so I want to be pro-Palestinian. I mean, that's basically it. And he feels like he wants to be the oppressed. It's the same mindset, less civil, of these idiots in Columbia, these idiots at Harvard, these jerks stopping on the parkways, pro-Palestinian, the oppressed, the white people stink, America is our bullies. We don't deserve this land. We don't deserve this country where, we have fake freedoms over here. And, you know, I'm so upset about the mindset. Here's what I'm encouraged by. We're all done with it. Most Americans are done with that attitude. We're done with the self-loathing. We're done with we're done pretending that the Israelis might have, the Palestinians might have a point. The Palestinians want to be rid of the monsters at Hamas. The Lebanese want to be rid of Hezbollah. The Saudis in the Middle East want to be rid of Iran. We are trying to find their point of view. That is we're pretending the bad guys have a point. They don't. And the people that have to deal with them on a daily basis, they're fed up. And they wonder why we are so tolerant. And believe me, Saudi Arabia and these guys, They're not coming against Israel for a reason, because Israel's right. They can't believe what Israel's done to Hezbollah. And then Iran is scared to death that they're coming for their oil wells, their military bases, and for the Grand Ayatollah, and they have a right to be. Take them all out.
Absolutely. What's coming up on Saturday night, Brian?
I'm going to take the rally. So I'll be getting out, and I'm going to have Kimberly Strassel and joining me at the end to wrap it up and tell me what she thinks, because she wrote a great column last week saying this is what Trump's still not doing. And I loved it because he's right. She's right. He's maximizing the people that like him, and he's not opening up to the people that are thinking about liking him. And I want to get that perspective and see if he includes it in the rally. So we'll be live.
Awesome. Have fun with that. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll talk next week.
Go get him.
All right. Take care. That's Brian Kilmeade. His show, by the way, on Saturday night airs at 8 p.m. Central here in the Midwest. One Nation with Brian Kilmeade. You know, I read something today in the New York Times, Sue, and I've said this before, and it is true. I read a lot of different things from different perspectives. I watch different perspectives, which is one of the reasons I like Real Clear Politics, because if you go to the front page of RCP, you'll see a variety, you know, of opinions on all kinds of topics of the day. Well, let me give you a real life example here. Wednesday, October 9th, Harris. So they just kind of collate the stories. The first story, Harris unable to answer basic questions on 60 Minutes. Dan McLaughlin, New York Post. Dan's a guest, regular guest on the show. The next one, Republicans closing message. We lie to you. A.B. Stoddard, The Bulwark. So the other side, those are the never Trumpers at The Bulwark. My former mentor, Charlie Sykes, started that. So they go kind of back and forth. They put all the opinions up there and you can kind of choose what you read. So the New York Times kind of hooked me this morning. They had a piece that said 65 doctors, nurses, and paramedics, what we saw in Gaza. And there's a guy by the name of Dr. Feroz Sidwa, who is a trauma and general surgeon who worked in Gaza from March to April. And this is pretty harrowing, some of the stuff in here. I worked as a trauma surgeon in Gaza from March 25th to April 8th. I volunteered in Ukraine and Haiti. I grew up in Flint, Michigan. He gives the background, blah, blah, blah. He said, nearly every day I was there, I saw a new young child who had been shot in the head or chest, virtually all of whom went on to die, 13 in total. At the time, I assumed this had to be the work of a particularly sadistic soldier located nearby. But after returning home, I met an emergency physician who had worked in a different hospital and said this, I couldn't believe the number of kids I saw shot in the head. To my surprise, he responded, yeah, me too, every single day. Now, they go on and they list, and there's all these people, 44 doctors, nurses, and paramedics that saw multiple cases of preteen children who have been shot in the head or chest in Gaza. And they all report on this. I saw several children shot with high velocity bullet wounds in both the head and the chest. But what's missing from all this is the evil and the terror that was inflicted upon the Israeli citizens, including women and children, when they were raped and tortured last year, a year ago, during October 7th. So while I don't know what's going on with the kids that are being shot, and we don't want innocent people to be shot, we also know that Hamas uses as their headquarters hospitals, apartment buildings, residential areas. So how would the New York Times have covered this, for example, in during World War II, right? Probably a lot of innocent German people. There were innocent people all across Eastern and Western Europe that died. And around the planet in World War II. But it was the Nazis who kind of started it, wasn't it? They were trying to invade the rest of Europe and take over the world. And they were doing things that were horrifying. Now, we didn't know the extent of all that until the end of the war. But in this particular situation, there's a lot of empathy in this New York Times piece for the children. And there should be, because these are innocent kids, young. I have a 9.5-year-old. So I don't know why people are being shot in the head. But it's this effort in the legacy media, in the New York Times, and some of these publications to say, you know what? We have to show that the Israelis do really, really bad things too. We're going to forget what happened a year ago and why they have a mission to save their people and their entire country. So it's interesting the way that journalism works, or supposedly works, because I'd like to see the same story with 64 nurses and paramedics and ER doctors in Israel, you know, talking about what's happened over there. I don't think we're going to see that, though. I really don't. Audio cut of the day is coming up. I was just watching during a break a video of a dog being rescued down in Florida, and so it got me thinking about all the animals in North Carolina and other areas in Georgia and in Florida. And, you know, in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, I was, when I first came back here to St. Louis, this would have been probably 2007 or so, I was, when was Katrina? Do you remember?
No.
Okay, let's look that up, first of all, for point of reference. But I had a great sponsor out in the Chesterfield Valley, Petropolis. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They board dogs, and it's a great facility.
2005.
Okay, so this would have been, yeah, this would have been 2000. I moved here in 2006, so it could have been 2006, 2007. I was out of Petropolis. They had an event that I was helping promote, but they also had some cats for adoption. And there was this big, beautiful Maine Coon mix. I don't know if you know Maine Coons.
I do. They're huge. They're,
yeah, they are. But this one was a mix, so he wasn't quite as big as a purebred. But he was from New Orleans. And there was a group here in St. Louis. Nancy Lupia was her name. I don't even know if she's still around. Felines Forever was the organization. And they rescued cats from, you know, Louisiana in the aftermath of Katrina. And I looked at that. It was a hot day. And this poor cat was in the cage and he was panting. And I'm like, I cannot leave without this cat. And I went rogue on Becky. She was still, I'm not even sure. She was out of town for some reason. And I'm like, I got a cat. Now, we had two cats at the time. So I was bringing cat number three.
Yeah, but you had to, Mark. I'm totally with you.
And you know what? He was a big, ginormous cat and just such a great cat. And we lost him a couple of years ago, but that was from Hurricane Katrina. All right. I do have something for, well, I better get started here. I'm going to run out of time because I have something good for Audio Cut of the Day. So let me do it here.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the Audio Cut of the Day.
Okay. Let me frame this a little bit because when I was trying to figure out who these guys were, I found some audio today from this podcast that Trump was on. And I thought, well, this is kind of funny, and there's some good audio here, so I want to, you know, look into it. So when I Googled the podcast, I find this article from The New Republic, which is a lefty, you know, publication out there. And they do this whole story about how Trump goes on this this comedy website with Andrew Schultz and this other guy that I can't pronounce his name, and it was a terrible, disastrous appearance. Well, you make the call, because he's just kind of chatting it up, and these guys think it's hilarious.
I can come back to exactly where I started. Now, someday when you don't come back to where you started,
you're Biden.
Then
you're
saying, no, but the weave is the way. When you're telling, like, a story, I was telling a story.
So he's talking about the weave. He says he doesn't ramble, and, you know, people accuse him of rambling. He said, I don't ramble, I weave.
At a rally the other day in front of thousands of people, and I started off, and then
you were weaving
something in the story, I actually mentioned Air Force One. It was Air Force One was there. So I mentioned Air Force One. And then I said how I got $1.6 billion off the price of Air Force One. So, but then you have to come back to the story. Where was Air Force One taking you? So anyway, I do a weave. I call it the weave. And some people think it's so genius. But the bad people, what they say is, you know, he was rambling.
Yeah.
It's not a ramble. There's no rambling.
This is a weave.
This is a weave. I call it the weave. Good name. I'm not sure. That's another name. We had fake news. Yeah, we came up with lots of names.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the weave is, I think we should make the weave a part of that stable.
So they think it's funny. They're kind of joking with him. Here's another segment of it. He's talking about some of the nicknames that he's given to some of his, you know, opposing political types.
Jack. You're TikTok,
TikTok
guy.
Jack.
TikTok Jack.
You know, this is a little new world. I call him, his name is Jack. I call him TikTok Jack. I'm good with names, you know.
You are.
You're very good.
I mean, Pocahontas.
Yeah.
We have names.
What about, and there was, you, Tampon Tim was good. What about,
Tim,
is
the
that?
The problem with Tampon Tim, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
In other words.
It's a mouthful.
It's a lot. Yeah. Tampon. And you can't stutter it through when you call it. It's really a lousy word to say.
Yeah.
But it's quite accurate.
It is quite accurate, actually.
There are some, like, Comrade Kamala. It's a little hard to say. She's Comrade because she's obviously a communist.
Yeah.
She's horrible. So I call her Comrade.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. But when you put the names together, it's a little, you got to be able to pume. you got to be able to put it out there.
I love it.
But we have a lot of good ones. A lot of them I can't go into with you because some of my best ones are from the Republican primaries.
And
they're all friends of mine now.
So if you, and this, I completely stumbled across this New Republic article, and they completely manipulate it. You want to talk about journalistic malpractice. At the end, they say Trump's disastrous appearance comes as his team launches criticism at Kamala Harris. that was anything but a disastrous appearance. They were all laughing and joking, and he was actually being real, which is part of his appeal to, like, regular Americans, because they see through the phoniness that exists on the other side with Kamala Harris. So I thought that was outstanding, and I can't believe, well, I can believe, because I highlight this bias all the time. Don't believe the fake news. The media is, in fact, sadly, the enemy of the people. Sue, have a great night.
You too.
We'll see you tomorrow at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.